Hello, everyone. Today is November the 11th, and this is our Spiritual Law of Nature call with Dr. Alex Lloyd. My name is Johanna Chan, and I'll be hosting today. But before we hear from Alex, I want to go ahead and share this disclaimer. This presentation is for education and informational purposes only. And since we are going to be talking about issues of health and well-being, we wanted to make sure that you understand this information is not intended to heal or cure anything. Everything in the presentation are the opinions of Alex Lloyd or myself, Johanna Chan, possibly you if you choose to share. You should always check with a licensed healthcare provider about any specific health concerns you may have. So today is going to be a little different again. Alex is taking care of some other things so we are going to be playing. I'm going to be playing a replay of one of his talks that he did in 2017. So this is called The Lord's Prayer.
Thank all of you so much for being here. We are honored so much every single week by your presence, and we just hope that we can make some little contribution in your week to give you something to think about, to give you something to practically apply to your life, and to give you something right now in the moment that maybe will help you, make you feel better, give you hope, be a little boost during your week. So we do our best to do that. We're always trying to improve. Let us know if we can. Because of the title of the Spiritual Law of Nature for today, I need to do a little bit of explaining, because I run the other way from religion. It took me decades to recover from my religious upbringing, and I still have things pop up from that from time to time that I have to do some more work on. I didn't know about that one or whatever. But I do try very hard in my life to be spiritual, and I'm still learning in that and growing, and I hope getting better. I'm not where I need to be, but I'm way better than I used to be. I was raised in a very religious setting, a very legalistic setting. And a lot of you know my story, not the one about Hope being depressed, but the one about her kicking me out of the house about 3 years after we married, and she said, "I can't stand to live with you anymore." And not long after that, I had a real crisis in my life, and I started doubting basically everything that I'd ever been taught. Is there a God? Does he exist? I wasn't so sure anymore. I'd been raised to believe a whole laundry list of do's and don'ts, and was now doubting all that stuff. And I think it was a very healthy time for me. And of course, Hope and I got back together and have been really, really happy ever since. Once we got a handle on her depression. But one of the things that was part of that was shifting from, okay, this is the way I've been raised and what I've been taught all my life, to what is really the truth. And almost, I need to see it before I'm going to believe it, because I've had it with this stuff that's just, okay, just believe it because I tell you. I'm not doing that anymore. I want to see it to believe it. And I went to see a lecture at a local university here in Nashville, where the keynote speaker was a NASA rocket scientist, literally a doctor who worked for NASA and was an engineer in the space program. And very significant in that. His name was Dr. John Clayton. You can still find him online. And Dr. Clayton was sharing his life journey through science. and how he had been raised in a very, I think, a similar way to me, and got to that same crisis, and his field was science. So he set out to prove that the Bible was a bunch of baloney, scientifically, and that there is no God and all that sort of thing. And was hoping it would be the definitive work and would put an end to all this religious foolishness and everything and free people from that. And so he set out to do that. And so what he did is if the odds of the Earth being the exact distance from the sun were 1 in 1,000, okay, he would calculate it as 1 in he would calculate all those factors, like, okay, the odds of this happening or this, the odds of this happening or this, the odds of this happening or this, and if the odds were 1 in 1,000, he would minimize that just to be on the conservative side and say 1 in 100 instead of 1 in 1,000, okay. And then he would do that with all these different factors, the odds that the Earth would have the gravitational pull, that where we're not sucked in, where we're not sucked into the Earth, but we also don't fly off in the air, the ozone layer, the spin, the distance from other planets, and on and on and on. It was unbelievable how many he looked at every factor he could possibly factor in. And there's a figure, a mathematical figure in science, at which even scientists say, okay, anything beyond this number is impossible to just happen. In other words, it can't happen scientifically. And the number that he came up with, even being conservative, like going from 1 in 1,000 to 1 in 100 and changing it to 1 in 100, the number he came up with that, with after doing all that, was way, 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 way beyond that number where even in science they would say, this is not even something that can happen once in a billion years. This is impossible. And the illustration he gave, and I'll never forget this as long as I live, because I'm sitting here, you know, in my own little crisis trying to figure out what I believe about all these things, okay. And the example he gave is he took out an old-timey gold pocket watch that has, I think, about 150 or 60 pieces, depends on the watch, separate pieces. But you know the kind where you open up the back and you can see all these pieces moving back and forth, you know, not the new quartz ones, but the old ones that had all the moving parts. And he got a paper bag, a great big paper grocery bag, and he said, okay, scientifically, here's what we're talking about. He said, if I took all of the parts off of this watch, okay, all those little bitty tiny gears and springs and screws and the chain and the stem and the winder and the lens, if I took all these parts apart and put them all in this paper bag, took the paper bag to the top of Mount Everest, when I got to Mount Everest, I shook those parts up as hard as I could in the paper bag, and then I opened the top and grabbed that paper bag by the bottom and slung it as far out as I could with all my might all over, you know, three sides of Mount Everest. And then my grandson or great-grandson were to come back in 100 years on the dot and come back to the top of Mount Everest, and when my grandson got to the top of Mount Everest, the watch would be put back together in perfect order and on the exact right time to the second. The odds scientifically of all of this stuff just occurring are much, much, much less likely than that watch being back together sitting on the top of Mount Everest. strictly from a scientific point of view. And that I'm sorry to take so much time with this, but that started me on a different journey, a journey of science, and seeing science as a way to find truths about God and spirituality and the Bible and other religious documents and things like that. So from that day forth, I started my own search, and what I found in the field of health was that every important factor I could think about in regard to health and success and relationships was already in the Bible and not in any other manuscript I could find. I mean, for instance, I'll give you an example. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I needed to lay a little bit of groundwork. The word heal or healing, which is what we're all about, right, and what probably all, a lot of you are here for, healing. The word healing in the original Hebrew language, you know what it literally means? It means blinded by the light. Blinded by the light. Well, you know what? That is about as accurate a description of illness and healing as you could ever discover. I mean, if you look at an X-ray, there's a dark spot where the problem is. If you look at a CT scan, an MRI, there's a dark spot where the problem is. The problem in any cell that has disease is a dark, dense spot where there's a lack of light and oxygen and all that stuff, okay? And very similar things about everything having to do with health, okay? Our cells, fear being the source of health issues on another level, sadness, anger, anxiety, worry, our self-worth and identity. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And yes, I can find some of those things in some other manuscripts because, believe me, I've looked thoroughly. But I've never found any other document where all of them are in one document and they're all correct scientifically in regard to health and relationships and success. And that is huge to me because what that is called is a self-authenticating manuscript, meaning that there's stuff in that manuscript that has not been proven yet when it was written. And then you have thing after thing after thing after thing after thing. A lot of the stuff about cellular memory, I mean, you guys have heard me talk about that many times. Well, that was in the Bible before Southwestern University and Dr. John Sarno and Dr. Bruce Lipton and all these other people proved it in the lab, okay? Guard your heart above everything else, for from it flows the issues of life. And when you read the fine print, and read the fine print about what the medical schools are calling cellular memory, it's the same thing. Okay, so I apologize. I don't think I've ever talked about these issues before and don't really have an intention to later, but needed to just lay that little bit of groundwork, okay? I'm not trying to convert you. I'm not trying to convince you. I just want you to know where I'm coming from, all right? By far, the most famous prayer in the history of the world is called the Lord's Prayer. It's quoted everywhere in all sorts of different disciplines and groups, and it's the prayer for so many people around the world. Okay, I think it's interesting that Jesus, the account of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is asked by his closest followers, how do we pray? Teach us how to pray. And I think that's a great question because, you know, at the Healing Codes, we talk about praying all the time. And I really got turned on to praying from Larry Dossey, who's a medical doctor, and his wonderful book, Reinventing Medicine, where he talked about the scientific research on prayer, double-blind studies and all kinds of other things, that have found prayer to be incredibly healing. I mean, way more than placebo. And so, you know, that got me looking at prayer a different way years ago. But I want to take a look for just a few minutes, maybe just to get you thinking a little bit this week, at Jesus' answer when he was asked, how do we pray? And does he give us a blueprint in there for success in our life? I mean, of course, the first purpose of that prayer is interaction with God and relationship with God and asking God to intercede. And I understand that. And that's my first intention too. But let's take a closer look at what Jesus puts in this prayer, and are we living our life this way? And if not, is it the reason that we're failing? Ken Johnston has said for as long as I've known him, three things in almost any situation: what's working, what's not, and what's next, all right? Well, we get a whole lot of people that come to us with what's not working. We don't get a whole lot with what is working or what's next. We get a lot of what's not working. Well, what I want to suggest to you today is that maybe the reason it's not working in your life is because you are violating ancient spiritual principles. So let's take a look. And I'm just going to look at five things really quick. The first one is how Jesus starts that prayer. And he said, and he says, hallowed be your name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. All right? So what does that mean? It means that you have the honor and the power. You have the honor and the power. Honor means you're a person worthy of me trusting. And power means you're the one with the power. So in other words, you're God and I'm not. That's one of my favorite lines from the movie Rudy, where the priest is trying to help Rudy in his life crisis. And he said, there's only two things in all these years of the priesthood that I would say are absolutely incontrovertible facts. There is a God and I'm not him. Okay? And that's what Jesus says. He says, you have the power, you have the honor, hallowed be your name. All right? So if you're trusting in yourself and your own abilities, you may be in a vicious cycle that you need to get out of. The second point, your kingdom come. All right? So he says, you're God, I'm not. Let your kingdom be established. And in other ancient manuscripts, in the same book, it says that the kingdom of God is within you. It's not out there somewhere, okay? It's not up in the ozone. It's in you. The kingdom of God is in you. So the focus is on what's inside you, not physically, but non-physically. Okay? So now let's put together one and two. There is a God. I'm not him. He's got the power. He's got the honor. And my focus should be on the unseen that's inside me that is part of his kingdom. All right? Number three, your will be done. So, number three, he says, okay, because you're God and I'm not, because you are worthy of honor, because you have the power, and because this is about your kingdom that is within me, not physically but non-physically, I'm going to give you control rather than me trying to play God in my own life and taking control in order to ensure the circumstances, to ensure the results that I want in my life, okay? And I'm going to focus internally, not externally. The kingdom of God is within you, so your focus should not be on the external circumstances. It should be on the internal, what I call the spiritual inward state, okay? Now, after all of that, then Jesus says, okay, make your request to God. Give us this day our daily bread, you know, which means, okay, yeah, we have physical needs. We need a roof over our head, maybe. We need clothes to wear. We need food to eat. Please give us that food. Again, I'm not taking control of that. I'm not saying I'm God, and so I'm going to manufacture food. I'm going to give control to you. And then last of all, forgive me as I forgive others. And so the insinuation there is I will not be forgiven if I'm not willing to forgive others. And by the way, that's the only thing that is stated twice about the Lord's Prayer, that I will not, that please forgive me, but that's contingent on me forgiving others. Now, in contrast, what I see most people doing in their life when they come to us and in some way, shape, form, or fashion, they're saying, it's not working, my life isn't working, or this part of my life is not working, they are violating usually every one of these principles, but almost always two or three. They are taking control themselves. They're trying to play God in their own life and trying to wield their own power, which they really don't have any of. They're focusing externally instead of internally. They're saying, my will be done, and I'm going to try to take control to ensure the results that I want in my life. And I'm not asking for bread to come to me. Maybe I'll do that with lip service. But what I really believe is I've got to exert my own power and influence and go out there and make bread come to myself. Now, I'm not saying lay on your couch and be lazy and expect the FedEx guy to bring you, you know, spaghetti and meat sauce, okay? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying where's your focus? And that if you focus on the inward state, that the external circumstances will tend to improve dramatically. If your focus is on the external circumstances, I'm going to go get my bread for myself, you'll usually be lacking in bread, and you'll be miserable too because you've neglected the kingdom. You've neglected the inward state. Okay? And then most people, I've never met anyone who didn't have forgiveness issues. Dr. Ben had been saying that for years with cancer. And everyone I've ever seen who had forgiveness issues had people that they were not forgiving in their own life. So I believe that Jesus, in answer to how we should pray, does give us a success blueprint for our life. Number one, there is a God. He's not me. He is worthy of the honor. He has the power. My focus should be on the inward non-physical, not the outward physical, that I'm going to give control to God, and when you give up control, the stress immediately goes away. When you take control, you have put yourself in chronic stress until you either get that thing or don't. That's research out of Harvard by Dr. Dan Gilbert. That then I can request my desires, like bread or money or whatever it is that I need, but all the while not neglecting number three, which is God's will be done. So, yes, I request this, I desire this, and I'm going to walk in that direction, but your will be done. I give it up from the first moment, which means my stress goes away. Okay? And then the last one, I'm going to forgive everybody in my life and be forgiven myself. So take another look at that in your life. Think about this as you're sitting under your tree this week. And, you know, I think a lot of times we think we're so modern and we think we're so cutting edge, and the secrets have been there all along in the ancient. And I believe this is another example of that. Thanks, Ken.
All right, so that was a great spiritual law of nature that he shared in 2017. Alex is gone today, but he will be back next week. He still has a project he's working on, so he apologizes for that. If you have if you would like to get a custom code or a custom trilogy, you can raise your hand by pressing *2 on your phone, and I will unmute your line, and we can do that for you today. So let's see. *2 is going to raise your hand. And our first caller is, your number ends in 5920. 5920, your line is open.
Hi, Johanna. This is Lori calling.
Hi, Lori.
Hi. I got a custom code trilogy a couple weeks ago for my eyesight, and it just seems like my eyesight's only worse, so I'm not sure what to do. I kind of compare it from one day to the next, and it seems like it's deteriorating from day to day, so I don't know if it's because I'm saying that or like an unhealthy belief kind of thing, or if I just need to keep coding.
How do you feel about this condition? What is the negative feeling, thoughts, beliefs about it?
It's very negative, mostly fearful that I'm going blind, and sometimes frustration, and sometimes discouragement.
Okay, and on a scale from 1 to 10, how strong is that?
They're very high, like 9 to 10.
When have you felt that same way about something in your life before?
Nothing's coming up right now about that.
Okay. Okay, well, let's go ahead and continue with the trilogy, addressing the fear, the frustration, you know, any negative thoughts or feelings about it. We never know exactly how the physical body's going to respond. We do know that it works on the issues of the heart that have created this situation. So that's, of course, still our focus. This talk we had today would be very timely. It would be good to maybe listen to that again,
mm-hmm.
With Alex and see, he says, you know, if something's not working in your life, then it's usually because we're not, you know, following these principles. So that'd be something to maybe listen to again. For sure, we want to address the fear and the frustration.
Okay.
And then, of course, you know, your desire for the eyesight to get better. But, again, understanding it's healing issues in the heart. So say for me, I desire to be healthy.
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truthfully.
I am ready to test truthfully.
The fear issue.
The fear issue.
Okay, very good. Just a moment. All right, so our tapping from the eyebrows all the way to the side of the hand.
Okay.
Okay, then we're going to go to collarbones, sore spots, under the nose, chin, under the eyes, under the nipples, under the arms, and then the 9G.
Okay.
Okay, minute number two, healing code. Left hand brainstem, right hand high bridge. Both hands below the belly button. Left hand Adam's apple, right hand jaw. Both hands on the high bridge. All right.
Okay.
Minute number three. Start at the base, slide all the way up and over without stopping. You can do this quickly or you can do it more slowly. It's up to you. And just imagine this river of energy being filled to overflowing, and as you cross, as you slide over each of the energy centers of the chakras, that they're being placed in harmony with one another, filled to overflowing as well.
Okay.
Okay, then we're going to start at the solar plexus or the tummy.
Okay.
Slide up to the throat.
Okay.
Slide up to the forehead.
Okay.
Slide down to below the belly button.
Okay.
Slide back up to the heart.
Okay.
Back up to the throat.
Okay.
And then over the head to the top of the spine. And I would, again, do the healing code.
Okay.
End it.
Minute number four is repeating the healing code?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And this is the category is, the primary category is the peace category, but you may want to do the relationship issue finder and see what other areas could use some attention.
Okay. I'm also doing the trilogy sources for relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Systematically going through one per day kind of thing.
Good.
And I am kind of noticing any unforgiveness issues through that. So should I include that in?
Yes. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. That's perfect. That's what I would suggest you do, is explore those categories and see what other things are coming up, whether they have the same negative feelings and frustration or not. Anything that shows up there is your heart telling you, hey, I need some healing here.
Okay.
This version of me needs some light and love. So that's what you do.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. God bless.
Thank you. You too.
All right, our next caller, I believe I know who this is. Marilyn?
Yes, it is. Thank you. Good morning, Johanna. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
We have beautiful weather here. We're going into summer.
Oh, nice. We're going into winter.
Yes. thank you. Thank you for the code for last week. I'm still doing it. It has been so helpful.
Good.
But why I've come on this morning, I woke up about half an hour before we normally get up, and my energy was I just could feel it was just not in a happy place. And so I do my LT3s because I've learned them all off by heart, and I use my LT3s to heal on it. And then which happens for me at times, what's come up behind that is a feeling that there is no happy solution to Timothy and Bridget's, that's my son, situation, and I tested which LT3, it came up as trauma, and I can feel the grief behind that. And so I also got out, Alex put up a long time ago, parent emotions and the siblings, and I tested which ones. I went through grief, and the feeling came up as betrayed, and I really, when I read that out, I just could really feel that feeling of betrayed. But I feel it goes back to my childhood and my father. We had a normal life. You know, Dad was working as a teacher at a college. And then he disagreed with what the church believed. They threw him out. Other people started to agree with him. He then became the head of the church and he preached. But he couldn't live what he preached. And I feel the betrayal is that he really took me away from, maybe I would call it, what would have been a normal life, and put me into a situation for the rest of my life that was so much stress and trauma for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the betrayal is, if he could have lived what he preached, I could have accepted that. I don't
mm-hmm.
know. That's just what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I sort of,
well,
that's, why did he
yeah.
do that to me sort of thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. God bless you. Okay, well, what we can do is go ahead and create a trilogy to address this feeling
yeah.
and this belief about your father, but also extend that healing to anything else that you're feeling regarding your other family members.
Yeah, because I've also written down, I feel that this is an issue of my life, that there is no happy solutions to issues in my life. I feel that with Timothy, I don't feel there's a happy solution there. If he stays with her, it's going to be unhappiness. If he walks away from her, she plans to just make his life miserable because she said that to him. You know, what I am finding with healing on the situation with my son is it is showing me a lot of issues that are actually my own issues, and I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, it needs to be extended out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just these two things. Thank you.
Okay, and this is primarily in the joy category, Marilyn. If you
yeah,
were going to explore, it's in the joy category.
That was what we were doing last week, was also a joy
yeah.
issue. What I've just started doing, because I find I have a patience issue, I've started taking the patience through the cognitive distortion. So probably it wouldn't hurt to also do joy and just take it through all the cognitive
yeah.
distortions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, I'll do this, thank you, as well as I'll add that in as well.
Okay, all right, so let's go ahead and get a custom trilogy. Can you say for me, I desire to be healthy?
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truthfully.
I am ready to test truthfully.
The joy issues.
The joy issues.
Okay, good. Okay, minute number one.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do the tapping from the eyebrows all the way to the side of the hand.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to do middle of the chest.
Okay.
Under the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
Little finger.
Yeah.
Middle finger.
Mm-hmm.
Collarbones.
Yes.
Sore spots.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 9G.
Okay.
Healing code. Left hand brainstem, right hand high bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And then reverse that, left hand high bridge, right hand brainstem. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Minute number three, we're going to start at the base. Slide all the way up and over two times.
Okay.
Then start below the belly button.
Mm-hmm.
Slide up to the throat.
Mm-hmm.
Slide up to the forehead.
Mm-hmm.
Slide down to the solar plexus.
Mm-hmm.
The tummy. Slide down to the base.
Yep.
and then move slowly up, pausing at each energy center until you mm-hmm. go over the head to the top of the spine, and that's it.
Okay. Last time you said to do the healing codes again at the end. Should I also
yes.
do that this time?
Yes. Okay. Do the healing code too. Now, if you're using your LT3 processes, you can also add in MC3 if you want. You can do any of the trilogy extra minutes, of course. You do just whatever you feel, you know, comfortable doing at any point.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, no, it's interesting because I understand a lot of what Alex says on an intellectual level, but really these last few months, it's like I get it if on a different level. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah, and that's the way it is, you know. As we desire that truth in our hearts, it's more or less... It's kind of like according to how we can handle it, you know, we understand a little more and a little more, you know. So, of course, for those of us who've had, like Alex was talking about religion, you know, I can relate to that in some ways, too. So be, you know, just keep that open mind and that open heart, you know. Mm. It's like there's a verse in Scripture that says, "You shall seek me and you shall find me when you search for me with all your heart." And I think, you know, we want to remove any blocks in our heart that keep us from doing that on a daily basis. You know, that's my personal opinion.
Oh, yeah. No, I do, because I believe the healing codes came into my life because I asked God for help.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Wonderful.
Yeah, because I was in a very negative, stressed place. I just said, "God, please help me." And the healing codes came into my life about two and a half months later. It was funny because there was an email came in, and I get a lot of emails, you know, you described all these things which are energy healing supposedly. And often I would flick them off because I just get so many. And for some reason, I opened this one. And it was Alex talking about he'd done the book for The Greatest Principle.
Mm-hmm.
And him and Dr. Johnson did a small video talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went, okay, I'm going to get that. And that was the start of my healing code journey.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But I've always believed it. I always have believed it's because I asked God and he sent that to me. I've always
mm-hmm.
believed that.
God bless you.
You know, I do believe you. Yeah. I do have a very strong belief that if you ask God for help, he does give it.
Yeah.
But thank you. These, as I said, I really felt the shift in my thinking towards Bridget. I have been doing it all week. I feel calmer about my son, but then this one came up this morning. But I just sort of feel, again, you shift this and then there's stuff behind and that allows that to come up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so thank you.
You're welcome, Marilyn. God bless you.
Thank you, and I'm assuming Alex will be there tomorrow. We got an email last week saying it was tomorrow, so
yes.
I got some questions for him.
good, okay.
I'll be there. All right, talk
okay.
to you then.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, so those are the hands that we've had up today. I want to thank you all for being here, and come back again next week. Alex is working on a whole new series, the way he wants to use these Wednesday calls together with you. So come back next week, and hopefully he'll give us some clues on what that is. He's been busy. So God bless you all, and we'll talk to you again next week.